Yeah.
Okay, the Mishnah tells us on top, Tesimah Beis, Kol Shechavti Bishmirasa Yechsharti Yis Nizkoi. Anytime that a person is negligent, in his supervision of his property and it causes damage, he's required to pay for the damages. Even if he's just contributing to the negligence of, in terms of supervising his property, he's obligated to pay for all of the damages. Even though he was only partially contributed to the negligence, to the cause of the damage, he's required to pay all of the damages. So look at Rashi, Hichsharti is Nizkoi. Rashi says, Kleimer, Mhizik Hichsharti Vizimanti Oisa Hezik. Shalosh Shamartiv Yofer. If he goes out and it does damage, so he's required to pay because he did not watch, did not supervise his items properly. Kach Matzasi. That's the first Lishna in Rashi. Then he quotes Lishna Achrina, Hechsharti is Nizkoi, that he prepared it as a item that could cause damage. Olai lahachshir l'sakin is Nizkoi klem anichayv l'shalim, that he's obligated to pay. So what is the focus of this statement, Hechsharti is Nizkoi? Is it focused on the fact that he was negligent in the supervision of his item? Or is it focused on the fact that since it's his item, he's obligated to pay? And if you remember all the way back to the first day of the Zman, we discussed these two perspectives and what underlies, what is the basis, what is the focus of Tashlumei Nizkei Mamon. Is it because I was negligent in my shmira of my property and it's a kind of a penalty or a punishment for being negligent in my supervision of my own property? Or is it because since it's my property that caused the damage, even if I wasn't negligent necessarily, I'm responsible for the damage my property caused. If I watched it and it caused damage nonetheless, then that's ones rachmana patre. Okay, so, there's a category of ones. However, generally speaking, a person is obligated to pay for the damage that his property caused, not necessarily focused on the fact that it's because he was negligent in his supervision of it, and it's kind of a penalty for being negligent. It's more of a function of the fact that since it's your property, you're obligated to pay for all the damages that your property caused. So these two, Lishonos of Rashi, we brought it up at the time, seem to highlight these two perspectives. Okay, but let's move back to the Mishnah. That's items we discussed already. So let's look back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Nechazim she'im b'hem me'ila, you're only obligated to pay, Tashlum e'nezikin, if it damages an item that has no me'ila. If it's hekdesh, it belongs to the Beis Hamikdash, you're not obligated to pay. We discussed this also because the pasuk says, Re'ehu, below shall hekdesh. Nechasim amyuchadim, ubechol ma, I'm sorry, nechasim shehein, shall b'nei bris. It has to be items that belong to a Jew. Again, Re'ehu, below shall nachri. Nechasim amyuchadim, ubechol makam, chutz mi reshus hamyuchadis l'mazik. You're obligated to pay as long as the damage, if it was not in your property or the property of the mazik. If it was in the property of the mazik, so you came into my house and you got hurt, you can't sue me for the damages. Rishus ha-nizik v'ha-mazik, or it belongs to both of us, but I have the rishus to be here, my property is rishus to be here, and it caused damage, I'm not obligated to pay. Kishehizik ha-mazik l'shalim tishlumei nezik v'mei tavaretz, and when you pay these damages, you have to pay with Meitav. So some of these topics we've discussed already, some not. But the Gemara is going to continue to discuss the second line in the Mishnah, which is, if I was a contributing party to the negligence which caused the damage, I'm obligated to pay for all of the damages. Where do you have a contributing party? You know, I contributed, but I didn't cause all of the damage. I wasn't the only negligent party here, but I'm obligated to pay for everything. We've discussed where you have a guy who owns a pit and someone else pushes something else into the pit. They were both obligated to pay because we each contributed to the hezek and we split it. You might remember we discussed that. We split it. But where do you have that I contributed to the hezek, to the negligence, to what caused the damage, and I'm obligated to pay for the whole thing? Where do you have such a scenario? So the Gemara quotes a braisa, Tana Rabbanon, Kol shechavti b'shmirasa hechsharti es nizkoi keitzad. Shar ubar, what's this case? You have a pit or an animal. Shemasron lecheira shoyte v'katan. I gave it over not to a reliable shomer, rather to a cheres shote v'katan, who don't necessarily have the discretion to watch items properly. The heziku are not responsible, let's say, for their actions. The heziku, and then it goes out and does damage, chayv l'shalem, so the person who gave it to them, the owner of the item, is required to pay. Because he gave it to someone who's not necessarily responsible, or could have been assumed to watch the item properly. Masha ein kein be'esh, as opposed to esh, if I give an esh to a cheres shote v'katan, I'm part of from paying. So, b'maya skinon, what type of shar and bar, and what type of eish are we discussing? B'shar kosher ubar mechusa. Are we discussing a tied up animal and a covered pit? The kavasa gabiyesh. What's the equivalent of a tied-up animal, a covered pit, when it comes to a fire? It would be a gachelas, is a coal. Meaning they're not dangerous now. They could become dangerous. So a shore that's tied up could become dangerous. A bar that's covered could become dangerous. And a gachelas, a coal, could become dangerous. So ma'ishna ocha. So then why by a shore and a bar are you chayev? And by the gachelas, would you be potter? Either both potter or both chayev. Both should be potter, really, because you gave him something that really, was safe as it is, a bashar mutter. Rather, what we must say, we must be talking about a shar mutter or bar magula. We're talking about an animal that was untied, untethered, and a pit that was open. One second, the kavasa gabi esh, what's the equivalent by esh, is I gave him a flame. I gave the guy a bonfire, I gave him a torch. Mashen came by esh to potter, so by esh you're potter. But how can you say you're potter in that scenario? V'amar esh lakish m'shmei techizkiya, but esh lakish said in the name of chizkiya, Loi shanu, the only time if you give it over to Chereshot V'katan by fire that you're potter, Ela shamasa lo gacheles, if I gave him a coal, Valiba, and he brought wind, air to the fire, and he expanded it, he caused it to grow. Aval shalheves chayev, if you give a shalheves to Chereshot V'katan, then you're chayev. My time at Habari Hezekah. Why? Because you gave him something that was dangerous. So Liyalam says the Gemara, Bishar kasher bar mechusa. Okay, this the Gemara says this. So according to Reish Lakish, we must be talking about what? According to Reish Lakish, we must be talking about the Shor Kasher Bar Mechusa. Again, the Braisa said what? What did the Braisa say? The Braisa said if you give Masar Shor Ubar to Cheres Shaitu V'Katan, so what happens if you do that and they went out into damage? So then you're chayv. But if I give over, not a shor and a bar, I give over an ish, what's our ish? Becherah shayt of a katan. Yeah? And it goes out and does damage your potter. That's the statement of the Gemara. So the Gemara is, but what are these cases? You gave a shor and a bar, you're chayv. You gave an ish, you're potter. What's the case? So the Gemara says, according to Reish Lakish, what's the case? We're forced to say. The case that we're talking about is shor kosher. Bar Mechusa. So in that case, yes, you're Chayiv. And I gave him a Eish, which was a Gachelas. In that case, you're Potter. Because if it would have been a Shalheves, Reish Lakish holds your Chayiv. So that's what Reish Lakish learned this Gemara.
What about according to Rabbi Yochanan? It can't be you gave him a Shalheves because in that case you would be Chayiv. So Bashar Kash Bar Machuzik Vasak Abiyeshka Chaos will come out, Mashnahacha, Shar, where are we? So yeah, but then what is the difference between the two?
Why are you potter by an Aish? Because I gave him something that was, it's not necessarily going to cause damage yet. So how come when I give him a Shar Kash and a Bar Machusa Mchayev, those things seem to be safe and guarded?
Bashar Kash Bar Machusa, the Kavasak Abiyeshka Chaos will come out, Mashnahacha, Mashnahacha. What's the difference between the two? Why one are you Chayev and the other you potter? Shar, Dark Elin 2K, Bar Dark Elin 2Ray. Gacheles, Kama de Shavak La Ma'amia Amia Ve'azla. So the Gemara says because a shor, its derech is to become untethered. It's tied up now, but it will probably become untethered. A bar, its way is to become uncovered. It's covered now, it will probably become uncovered.
So since those are more likely to cause damage, we can already see where this is going, then you're chayev for giving it when you give it to a chereshot to v'katan, because they can't assume, to watch it properly.
But a coal, what happens if you leave a coal unguarded? Yeah, or you just leave it alone? Yeah, it fizzles out. That's the way fire is, right? The ruchniyastika implications that we see from there. A fire that's left alone, that's untended, tends to burn out. So it's going to burn out. So then I gave him a coal. It's going to burn out, so then I'm not obligated to pay. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan da Amar, I feel masalo shalheves nami potter. According to Rabbi Yochanan, even if you give him a shalheves, you're also potter. The kavaza acha b'shar mutter, bar magula. We can even say, it's talking about a shar mutter, a shar which is untethered, and a bar magula, a bar which is open. Well, if that's the case, so ma'ashna acha, why aren't you chayv? If I gave him, I gave a dangerous animal or whatever, not a dangerous animal, but I gave an untethered ox to a katan, and then it goes out and does damage. Why am I putter? I gave an animal to a katan to watch. Of course, I should be chayiv there. I'm sorry, there you're chayiv. If I gave him the shalheves, you're putter. So ma'ishna hacha, I gave him a fire. I gave him a dangerous fire. So the shor yechayev, the bar that's open, I'm chayev. The eish is a shal heves. Rabbi Yochanan holds your potter there. So why are you potter by the eish? Umayish na hacha hasam tzavse de cheresh kagarim hacha lo tzavse de cheresh kagarim. Because over here it's not the cheresh's. I'm sorry. Here it's the cheresh's fire. As opposed to there, it's not the cheresh's fire. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, Yochanan says, if I give him a shor mutter and a bar that's open. What's the language of the Gemara? Bar Megula. I gave him an open pit. So there, you're chayiv. See, now, meaning before we had to explain why you're chayiv over here. We understood in Eish that it's a gachelis. You give the chayiv shot of a cut and you put there because it's only a gachelis now. So Gemara, we needed to explain according to Eish Lakish, why am I chayiv if I gave him a tied up animal and a covered pit? So Gemara says, nah, you know why you're chayiv? Because the derech is to become undone. The derech of the pit is to become exposed. Here, you gave him a shor mutter and a bar megula. We know why you're chayiv. You gave him, you know, these items which require supervision, and you gave it to a person who's a chayiv shor to the kata, and you can't be assumed to be responsible. But if I give him an ace that's a shal heves, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're potter. Sigmar asks, why? Now, this is what we have to explain. According to Rabbi Yochanan, why are you potter for the ace? Sigmar says, because it's the fire of the chayiv. Here, it's the fire of the cheresh. It's not your fire. So therefore, you're not responsible for it. It's the tzavs of the cheresh. Look at Rashi. Achizasho shal cheresh gamra hever. Shehu nakla v'holicha ligadish. He caused it, the cheresh. Hacha lo tzavse de cheresh kagarm shashor holef v'hizik v'chein abor v'goyedei a cheresh hizik. The bar and the shor, that's not his, he didn't cause that damage, but the fire, he's the one that caused the damage. So who's the responsible party? The cheresh, and that exempts the person who handed him the torch. Rashi later on, Daf Chav Bezim Abayz, have a turn to Daf Chav Bezim Abayz. Rashi later on, gives a different explanation for Rabbi Yochanan, or perhaps adds additional explanation for Rabbi Yochanan. Why you put if I hand a torch to a cheresh? And Rashi claims it's based on Machlokes in Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan Chav Beis Amud Aleph. Turn to the Chav Beis Amud Aleph, six lines down. One of the most famous arguments in all of Masechtas Bava Kamma. Sigmar quotes a statement, Machlokes in Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, five lines down, Chav Beis Amud Aleph. Itmar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eisha Mishum Chitzav, Reish Lakish Amar Eisha Mishum Memoinai. When I have a fire that goes out and does damage, one of the Arba Ovis Nezikin, why am I obligated for the damage that it causes? So Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that it's like an Adam Amazik. It's an extension of myself. It's no different than if I would take an arrow and shoot it at somebody, or you know, a firearm and shoot it at somebody, that I'm responsible for the damage that's caused. Here I use the medium of a fire to go out and cause damage. Arson is no different, let's say, than any other kind of damage that I would cause through my own actions. I utilize some natural force, I harnessed it, in order to go out and do damage. So Eish also is like my own damage, like Adam HaMazik. Reish Lakish Amar, Eish HaMishu Mimono. Reish Lakish says, no, your fire is like your property. If it goes out and does damage, you're chayiv, just like I'm chayiv if my ox will roam around and cause damage, I'll dig a pit and it will cause damage. Or, you know, my animal eats from property, you know, somebody else that causes damage. So, to my fire, it's like my property. If it goes out and causes damage, I would be obligated to pay, but it's not considered to be my action. It's not an extension of myself, like I fired a firearm or I shot an arrow. I harnessed a natural force to do, you know, my action. It's Eisha Mishum Mimono. It's like your property went out and did damage. So the Gemara says, Reish Lakish, my time lo amak Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, Reish Lakish, why doesn't he say like Rabbi Yochanan? Amalecha chitza mikacha ka'azli. An arrow goes, you know, it's a continuation of your force. I, you know, either pull back the arrow and then let it go, or I shoot a gun. That's an extension of my initial action as it continues on forward. Here, I put a fire down, and the wind takes the fire. But I didn't start the process. I put it here in a place where it's windy, and I know what's going to happen, but it's not a continuation of my force. So Reish Lakish, my time, Rabbi Yochanan, my time of Omer Kresh Lakish. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say Kresh Lakish? I'm lachom and mine is be mamasha, less be mamasha. My property has, you know, is a tangible item. A fire is not a tangible item. How can you consider that to be my property? So Rish Lakish considers fire to be like property, even though it's not tangible. Rabbi Yochanan considers it to be like your action, even though it doesn't go with your force. I put it here and I harness the force. I put it in a place where I know what's going to happen. So Rabbi Yochanan, even though it doesn't go with my force, Rabbi Yochanan considers it to be other mamazik. No?
Would we apply these reasons to Nezika Bari, and like why Rish Lakish would say Nezika Bari, and I think we would
assume that would be a non-modern? So Rashi claims that Rabbi Yochanan over here, in this point of dispute between the Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, again, what really emerges is there's two points of dispute here between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. One is, if I give an Eish Gacheles, I give an Eish Shalheves to a Cheresh Adivikaten. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you're potter there, an Eish Shalheves. According to Reish Lakish, an Eish Shalheves that you gave to a Cheresh Adivikaten, you'd be Chayiv. You're only part of an Eish Gacheles. That was the opinion of Reish Lakish. And that's a point of dispute between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. So Rashi claims, why is it that Rabbi Yochanan holds your potter if I give a flame, I give a torch to a Cheresh HaTevikaten? He's not a responsible party. Why should I be potter? So the Gemara explained, because Sapta the Cherishu. Because the fire, the flame, really is the responsibility of the Cherish. Why should you say that if I give him the flame, it's considered to be the responsibility of the Cherish? So look at Rashi. If you have a look over here, Rashi on Chav Beis and Mebeis, and explaining the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Where are we? 7 or 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Shalheves Potter. Same Gemara as we have, you know, on Daf Tes. So the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that even if you give a flame, a torch to a Cheresh HaTevikaten, you're Potter. So Rashi explains Rabbi Yochanan Letaime Da Amar Eishem Ishum Chitzav V'Hacha Chitzav De Cheresh Hein. So Rashi says, when I use a fire to cause damage, that's like my action. So if I give a fire, you know, even an active flame to a Cheresh HaTevikaten, that becomes the action of the Cheresh HaTevikaten. He takes ownership of it. That exempts the original creator of the fire. Why does Rabbi Yochanan disagree? Rabbi Yochanan disagrees that if you give an active flame to a Cheresh HaTevikaten, you are Chayav, meaning the one who created the fire and handed it to the Cheresh HaTevikaten, because he holds Eisha Mishum Mimono. That's like your property, even though it's not tangible. That doesn't have necessarily a monetary value, but that's your property. So if your property goes out and does damage, you're obligated to pay. And if I gave it to an irresponsible party, the owner of the property, who created the fire, is the one who's obligated. So Reish Lakish holds that the fact that you handed the fire to the Cheresh HaTevikaten does not exempt the original owner of the flame. So who's Chayiv? The Bala Shalheves. So Eisha Shalheves, I give to Cheresh HaTevikaten, I'm Chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan holds, no, you're Potter. Why? Because they act, you know, the damage was caused by the flame is considered to be the action of the Cheresh HaTevikaten, not my action. And Eish is focused on action. It's considered to be an extension of your action, of your, it's like an other mamazik. It's not like property that went out and does damage. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you would be Potter. Here? Rabbi here? So Rabbi Yochanan holds your Potter here, says Rashi. Why? Rashi in Daf Chav Beis. Rabbi says it's Rabbi Yochanan Lashitaso, that he holds Eisho Mishum Chitzav. And this over here is the Chetz, is the arrow of the Cheresh HaTevikaten, that exempts the original creator of the fire. And Reish Lakish holds Eisho Shalheves is Chayiv, it's your property that went out into damage and you handed it to an irresponsible party, even though it was in someone else's hands, you are Chayiv, because Reish Lakish holds Eisho Mishum Mimono. That's how Rashi says. Tysis on the bottom of Chobez Mubez doesn't like Rashi's pshat. Look over here. Two lines from the bottom of Tysis to Ramasko Chitzov. So right in the middle of the line, Tysis says, V'hadar poiter Rabbi Yochanan, afil b'masa lo shalheves, that which Rabbi Yochanan exempts you if you gave over an active flame, lav mishum da'azel l'taymeh, this has nothing to do with his general position, de'islei eishu mishum chitzov, that he holds a flame is like your action, and over here it's the action of the Cheresh HaTevikaten. No. De Hamasik de Islay Nami Mishum Mimono, because there's a problem. Even Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Eisha Mishum Chitzav, also subscribes to Eisha Mishum Mimono. He holds it's not only your property, it even is your action. Look over here. The Gemara says in Chav Gimel Med Aleph, two lines from the top. The Gemara says, Omer Rava, Kashule La Baye, Lamanda Omer Eishim Mishum Chitzav. If you hold every time a fire goes out and does damage, that's like you cause the damage yourself. What's unique about Eish? Chavre, we've seen a few times. What's unique about Eish? There's a ptur of when? When? When are you potter by Eish? If it's something tamun. If it's not visible. I'm not responsible for that which is not visible. But 1 minute. Is there a ptur tamun by Adma Mazik? If I cause damage and there's something that's not visible, am I responsible to pay? Of course. So ask the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yochanan, every time a fire goes out and does damage, that's considered to be an extension of my action, like shooting a bullet or firing an arrow. That's considered to be my action. When do you ever have a ptur tamun? Every Eish is Adam Amazik. And there's no ptur of tamun, something that's visible by Adam Amazik. So I'm a rubber, kashala bai, lamando, I'm a Eish mishum chitzav, that's Rabbi Yochanan. Tamush be Eish, de pater, achmana, heikim ishkachasla. Where do you ever find this scenario? Venechale. He explains, where do you find it? You find it in the following scenario, where a fire erupts in a field. It happens to be, I got a fire, let's say a controlled fire in my backyard. I don't know why you would do that. I don't know. You're burning down. Yeah, I don't know anything about forest fires, but okay. The Los Angeles guy knows something about it. So it's a controlled fire, and it's a controlled burn. You have to do these things, right? Yeah. And it happens to be, Ba'isa Shah, an earthquake happens. So what happens now? The fence falls down. So it was supposed to be a controlled burn. Now, because of the earthquake, it's not going to be a controlled burn. It's going to go out and do damage. Does the Bala Deleka have to pay for the damage that he's now going to cause because the fire got out of the controlled environment? The fence fell down, nothing to do with the fire. V'hokavidlika went and did a lot of damage. V'ezika b'chatzer acheres, it did damage in another field. So there the Gemara says, you're chayiv for the damage, but it's not considered to be your action. It can't be my action. It was the involvement of the earthquake, which I had no idea was going to occur. So the hazam kalulei chitzav, your arrow dropped. Meaning it's not your action anymore. It's like a bullet that dropped into the ground. That has nothing to do with my original action. My original action was I had a controlled burn in my backyard. Then an earthquake happened. That's out of my control. I didn't harness that force. And then the fence fell down, and then the controlled burn went out and did other damage. So that's kolulei chitzav. My arrow is over. But I'm obligated to pay because it's my property. Even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that Eisha Mishum Emono. It not only is your property, but it's also your action. But it certainly is also your property. So since the fire is considered to be my property, even though I didn't harness the natural force by which it went out into damage, an earthquake interrupted it. I had nothing to do with that. But since I created it, I'm responsible for it. So therefore, I'm obligated to pay. The Gemara asks, well, then why am I obligated to pay at all if I had nothing to do with it? Because even the one who holds chitzav also holds it's your property. And even though this can't be attributed to your action, it can't be like you shot an arrow, shot a bullet, lemaisa is you are responsible for it. Yeah.
Would it matter whether the owner is the one who's watching? In the case of the fire pit,
no.
The owner is watching, or you gave it to a shomer, one of the three, I guess?
If you... Well, we'll get back to your question. We're going to discuss the pit. Okay, but right now we're discussing the fire. We'll get back to the pit and the ox that's tied up. You're asking, why is it any worse that I gave it to a chayr shot of a kata, and is that be any different if I were washing?
Partially that, yeah.
All right, we'll get to your point. Okay, so the Gemara says, you're also chayv mishum memono. So then the Gemara asks, 1 minute, if Eish mishum chitzav is also mishum memono, why would the one who says chitzav ever say chitzav? You already have memono. So the Gemara says, no, it's in order to obligate him to pay. There's a unique halakha with regards to Adam Amazik that he has to pay not only the damages, but Arba Dvarim. He has to pay Ripoy, Boshes, Sheves, Tsar, the other Tashlume Nezikin, for Adam Amazik. So Rabbi Yochanan generally holds Eish mishum chitzav. If a fire goes out and does damage, that's attributed to me. It's all my action, even though I didn't directly cause it, but I put it in a position where I harness the natural force to go out and do my bidding. But if it's kala lo chitz, if it's interrupted by another force that I cannot have anticipated, it's not all of my mazik. I wouldn't have to pay the arba, you know, tashlum, the other four tashlumi nezikin. But it is still my property. I'm responsible for the damage that it causes. So now getting back here, Chevra Tosis asked on Rashi, why did Rashi say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if I hand an act of fire to a cheder shoyte v'katan, I'm putter? Why? Because it's the actions of the cheder shoyte v'katan. It has nothing to do with me. Eishu mishum chitzav, says Rashi. It went out and it did damage. That's attributed to the cheder shoyte v'katan. That exempts the owner. Because Asian is normally mishum chitzav, and here it was interrupted by another force. Who was it interrupted by? The cheder shoyte v'katan. That's like an earthquake happened in the middle of my action. You can't blame me for that. So to be here, it's the action of the cheder shoyte v'katan. It's no longer my action. It's attributed to a different party. So Frak Taisvis, yeah, that can't exempt the original owner, because even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Eishu Mishum Chitzav, he also holds, even where it's interrupted by another force, there, an earthquake, here, a Chayr Shot of a Katan, Lamaisa, you created the fire. He also holds Eishu Mishum Mimono, and you're responsible for the damage that your property caused. So that's Taisvis' question. Let's look back. The bottom of Chabez and Mabez. Vahad the Paiter Rabbi Yochanan Afil B'masalo Shoheves. La Mishum Da Ozal the Time the Islay Eishu Mishum Chitzav. Nothing to do with the fact that he holds Eishu Mishum Chitzav and it was interrupted here by the actions of the Chayr Shoyt of the Katan, so it's no longer attributed to you. Da Masik the Islay Nami Mishum Mimono. The Gemara says even the one who holds Eishu Mishum Chitzav also holds Eishu Mishum Mimono. El Mishum De Kasava Shoheves Lo Bari Hazeka Kamoshar. Rather, it's because Rabbi Yochanan holds, and we're going to get to Tosfos in a second, that it's not as likely to cause damage, an act of flame. We would have said the opposite. But an act of flame is not as likely to cause damage as a loose ox. I guess we really don't have too much exposure to oxen. I don't know. But Tosfos says that a fire is less likely to cause damage than an ox. So therefore, if I give a shalheves to a chesher to a katan on putter, if I give a shar mutter or a bor megula, then I'm chayv. Those are likely to cause damage. A shalheves is not likely to cause damage.
Even a pit? I understand maybe an ox, but a pit that's just there?
Very likely to cause damage, yeah. If I have a sinkhole in the middle of the road and I say, the chayv shayt to cut them, please watch this. I understand why you're chayv. But if I give him a, I would say if you give him a torch, and you say, please, you know, a blowtorch, and say, please watch this, you know, probably, I would have said like Rish Lakish, but Tosfos feels that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's the less likely that it would have caused damage in the shor mutter and the bar megula. Rashi says, no. You know why you're potter? You're potter because it can't be attributed to you. It was interrupted by another force that had nothing to do with your actions. And Esho is mishum chitzav. The problem is, Tosfos is right. The Gemara says in Chav Gimel Aleph, even the one who holds Esho mishum chitzav also holds Esho mishum emono. So according to Rashi, even though your actions were interrupted by the cheres shoyt of a katan, you should at least be liable for the fire, the damage that the fire causes, because you're the one who created the fire. And even though it's not tangible, Rabbi Yochanan holds that that's considered to be your property. So why, according to Rashi, would you be putter here? What happened to Eisho Mishum Mimono? And the Gemara assumed, even according to Rish Lakish, or Eisho Mishum Chitza, he also holds Eisho Mishum Mimono.
I'm sorry, therefore, now that you're saying that it is also Mimono, then what do we...
What we're saying is, even if the cheres shoyt of a katan, again, I have...
That's why you'd be chayv. Because
you should be chayv, because at least you created the fire. It's your property. Even though I handed it to a cheres shoyt of a katan, my actions were interrupted by somebody else. Like, my actions are interrupted by an earthquake. You can't blame me for that. I didn't know that was going to happen. So the Gemara says, no, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're chayv for the damage that the fire goes out and causes, because you created the fire. And even though Eish could be considered to be like an arrow that you shoot or you know, a gun that you fire, it's no worse than property that you own.
So how would that be different from Yochanan says at the end, giving him the wood, the kindling, and then the fire start? Wouldn't
that be? That's what Tosfos is asking. Must be. Rabbi Yochanan Shita has nothing to do with his other position that Eish and Mishum Chitzav. One has nothing to do with the other. He just holds a tiki, you know, a torch is not dangerous. Tiki torch, and he holds, if you give him fire and wood, now you're my machine. You know, my yasa ben, you know, yasa ish. You know. But the problem, Tosfos claims it has nothing to do with the bigger issue of Eishu Mishum Chitzav. But according to Rashi, that it does, we're left with the problem. But even the one who holds Eishu Mishum Chitzav holds Eishu Mishum Mimono. So Moshe explains in his Sefer on Bava Kamma, the Tipras Moshe, that we're forced to say the following thing, which is, you know, I think is compelling. And that is that even though Rabbi Yochanan holds Eisho Mishum Mimono, his Eisho Mishum Mimono is not the same as Reish Lakish's Eisho Mishum Mimono. See, Reish Lakish treated it like your property. So even if I had nothing to do with the fact that the fire went out and caused damage, I literally had nothing. I didn't even intend for it to go out at all. I'm obligated to pay. It's no different than my property. Rabbi Yochanan rejected that, as we saw. Rabbi Yochanan says, it's not tangible. How could it be considered to be your property? So why would we say, Eishu Mishum Mimono, I'm obligated for the damage that it does? No, it's like a continuation of my action. I could cause damage through firing a gun. I could cause damage through arson. It's only because it's considered, the, you know, because of the damage that I caused. Not because it's your property. However, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, there seems to be a second level of Eishu Mishum Mimono. What that means is, even if it can't be directly attributed to me, it was interrupted by some other secondary force, since I sent it out to burn, like here a guy is doing a controlled burn in California. So you're doing a controlled burn. I didn't know, though, that it was going to go that far. And it only went that far because of the circumstances was out of my control. But Lamaisa is, I fired, you know, the fire. You know, I sent out the fire. I fired the gun. I shot the arrow. So once I start the action, Rabbi Yochanan feels you're responsible for all that, you know, that takes place subsequently. Even if it can't be directly attributed to you, you started the process. So even though it's not directly your action, but it's Eishu Mishum, it's along the lines of Eishu Mishum Mimono. But his Eishu Mishum Mimono is not the same as Reish Lakish's Eishu Mishum Mimono. It's only if I actually began the action, I began the process. Here, I took a flame and I handed it to Chayyush Shaitu V'Katan. I didn't intend for it to burn at all. See, the Gemara of Gimel Medal, if I started a controlled burn, an earthquake happened and it got out of hand. So I'm responsible for it because I started the burning. Reish Lakish is holds that, you know, any fire that I create, I'm responsible for the damage that it caused. So over here by the Chayyush Shaitu V'Katan, Rabbi Moshe argues that for Rabbi Yochanan, you would be putter because I didn't start the burn at all. I just took a flame and I handed it to a Chayyush Shaitu V'Katan. In such a situation, I would in fact be putter. So he suggests that the Eisho Mishum Mimono of Rabbi Yochanan is not the same as the Eisho Mishum Mimono of Reish Lakish. Okay, but Rabbi, so let's get back to the other point of dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What's the other point of dispute? The other point of dispute between them is with regards to a Shor Mutter and a Bar Megula. Let's leave out the fire for the moment. So what do we have? It's another point of dispute. Why? Because according to Reish Lakish, what's the halacha of a Shor Mutter and a, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what's the halacha of a Shor Kosher and a Bar Mechusa? If you have a shor kasher, bar mechusa, that you give to a chayav shor to v'katan, your pater. This is the second point of dispute between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan makes more sense. I gave them an innocuous item. Why should I should probably be pater. Why does Reish Lakish hold that you're chayav? So we said this is the one that needed the burden of proof. We had to explain this one. Over here, we had to explain why if I give an active flame to a chayav shor to v'katan, my pater. Rashi said because he holds Eishu Mishum Pizza. But over here, the you know, the burden of proof is on Reish Lakish. If I gave a, you know, a dangerous, I gave a shor kasher and a bar mechusa, a tied up animal and a covered pit, why should I be chayav? So look at Rashi over here in the Testament Beis. Rashi explains. Where are we? Shor darkel into it, the Gemara explained. It's because a shor, its way is to become untethered, a boar, its way is to become uncovered. Really? All animals that are tied up, you know, become untied. So look at Rashi. Shor darkel into ke. Vahavale la suke adaite. Shafilu ein hacheresh matiro. Even if the cheresh doesn't undo, you know, the leash. Sofo lahatir es atzmo. They usually wiggle out of it themselves. Anybody here a pet owner? They wiggle out, do their dog wiggle out of the leash? No. Thank God. Hilkach, shmira ruahi. The only time it could wiggle out of the leash is if you didn't put it on properly. It was a bad shmira. And therefore, even if the cheresh does it, you're chayev. So Rashi says over here, why are you chayev in this scenario? Why are you chayev? So the Gemara says, because its way is to become uncovered. Really? and its ways to become unleashed. Really? Has it become uncovered? Has it become unleashed? Anybody here, you know, ever see a pothole cover just blow off a pothole because its ways to become untethered? These things don't happen. So why would it become Mekula? Why would the animal become untethered? Says Rashi, because we're talking about a scenario where it was a Shmira Ru'ua. It was a bad placement of the cover in the first place. So that's why you're chayiv. You didn't really do your job.
Yeah. Nope.
Sounds like it's not like a bad knot or a bad tie. It sounds like since its way is to get out of it, maybe it's not a leash like around his neck. Maybe it's like tied up his legs, and like eventually it'll like wiggle out.
Like it pulls itself free.
Since when do things wiggle out?
If you tie up an animal's legs, maybe it'll eventually.
Ever become untied?
Do you ever tie up the dog's leg?
Why would you tie up the dog's leg? He has a leash around the neck.
But I'm saying
it's tied to a tree.
It's not the reason why it's a Shmira Ru'ua.
What
it sounds like because they can wiggle out, therefore it's a Shmira Ru'ua.
And Rashi says Shmira Ru'ua.
What about like a large...
Because it could wiggle out. He'll call Shmira Ru'ua because it could wiggle out. Let's say I put it in a place where it cannot wiggle out. What would Rashi hold in that case? And I gave it to a Kedoshot because I gave a mamish... An animal that was tied up properly to a cheresh shayt to the katan, and then something happened, and the animal got out. Would I be chayiv? No, potter. So must be I didn't tie it up properly. No.
Yeah, if you tied it up poorly.
Yeah. Nope. Sorry. Look at Taisvis though. Zak Taisvis b'shar kasher bar mechusa perush karoy. That's it. Not like Rashi. Di b'shaloi karoy. If it would not be tied up properly, lav klumi, then you did garnish. What does that have to do? You gave it to Chayav Shaita V'Katan. You didn't do anything. It's like leaving an animal free, to roam free in the middle. So you tied it with a slip knot. Well, what do you think is going to happen? Look again at Tosis, next Tosis. Shah other than 2K, the Shah becomes untethered. Perish Rashi, I feel below Chayrish. Nothing to do with the Chayrish. It's going to become untethered. Darkal than 2K may Elov. We're talking about a pit that normally becomes uncovered. I've never seen pits become uncovered. So he says, that can't be the case because we must be talking about when you covered it over properly. Otherwise, of course you're chayev. What does it do with the cherishayt v'katan? But if you cover it over properly, you're potter. So why over here are you chayev? Vinir the farish is Taisis, the darkle and tukaya de cheresh. I covered it over properly. The cheresh is going to untie it because he's gonna get conned by the dog to untying the dog. He's gonna get conned by the ox. You know, he's looking so sad with the eyes and everything. So he's gonna untie it. Vinir the farish, the darkle and tukaya de cheresh, kamar. The gara mishum de masa the cheresh. It's worse that you gave it to the cheresh. The coal is not so bad. The cheresh is not going to cause damage with the gacheles as much as he will with the shor kosher. So Tosis claims that is we're talking about where it was kosher karoy. You tied it up properly. Rashi says, no, it was poorly tied. That's why you're chayiv. Tosis says, if it's poorly tied, it's partial. What does it do with you gave it to a cheresh as a cousin? Tosis says, no, I tied it up properly. The cheresh, I should have anticipated the cheresh was going to undo the tying. And therefore, I'm chayiv.
Because
it's unlikely that the cheresh will take a coal and from that make a fire. That's unlikely. That's Tosis' pshat. And have a look over here at the Rambam. This is a running machlek in the Rambam and the Ravid. This machlek is Rashi and Tosis. This machlek is Rambam and the Ravid. Look over here, Ois Aleph, Zakhtar Rambam. Perek Dalav, and this came on Malach Avav. Masa behem to the Cheresheit v'katan. I gave my animal to a Cheresheit v'katan. Ava pisha haya hashar kosher. Even though it was tied up properly, habaylim chayovim. Who is that like? Tied up properly, I gave it to a cheresh shayta v'katan and went out and did damage. Who's chayiv? I'm chayiv. Who's that like? Rambam or Tosis? Huh? Rashi or Tosis? Tosis. Af al pi shehayah shor kosher, habaylim chayovin. Look at the Raven. Chaye Roishi. There's no source for this. It's talking about where it's not tied up properly. That's why you're chayav. If I tied it up properly, I would be potter. So the Ravid is like Rashi. The Rambam is like Tosfos. And look again, the Rambam and the Ravid go lishitasam. A few prakim later, I'm always a borrow the shomer. A shomer chayav ben azikav. I gave it to a shomer. The shomer, you know, a responsible party. So then the responsible party is liable for the damages. I gave it to an irresponsible party. Even though I covered it over properly. Hare habaylim chayovim. The owner is chayiv. That's like Tosfos. Zok deravid, ani oimer shelo hay machusa karoy. Again, he argues like Rashi. Why do the Ravid and Rashi argue we must be talking about a pit that's not covered over properly? What difference does it make? Let's say it's covered over properly. I should have to be concerned that the Chayrish will come and untie it. Why do Rashi and the Ravid, you know, why can they not sustain Tosfos and the Rambam's Pshat? Why do they insist that we're talking about where it was not tied up properly? So Moshe explains the difference. Moshe over here, but the Rav Salvechik has it in the Rishima Shiurim, same idea. We're going to see in a second, it's based on an idea from Rav Chaim. That is because according to Rashi and the Ravid, when I cover over a pit properly, it's no longer considered to be a Dover HaMazik. See, when am I responsible for something that I gave to a Chayrish Shoyt of a Kothin if I should have anticipated they might do something dangerous with it? Is only if it's still a Dover HaMazik. It's something which is dangerous, you know, in terms of causing damage. But if it's tied up properly, it's a pit that's covered over properly, then I didn't give a dangerous item to the Chayrish Shoyt of a Kothin. If they take it and make it dangerous, that has nothing to do with me. And even though I might have anticipated that they should have done, you know, that they might do that, that's unfortunate. But it has nothing to do with me. I didn't give them a dangerous item. According to the Rambam and Tosfos, even a covered over pit or a tied up animal, which can't do damage in the current state, is still a Dover HaMazik. It retains its status as a dangerous item. And therefore, if I can anticipate the Chayrish Shoyt of a Kothin will do something dangerous with it, or make it, you know, cause it in a way that it could cause damage, I'm chayev. Because when I handed it to them, it had not had its status of Dover HaMazik removed, even though it was tied up or covered over, and therefore I'm responsible for the damage that goes out in the causes. According to Rashi and the Ravid, the minute you cover it over properly, I tie up the animal properly, it's no longer a Dover HaMazik, and if the Chayrish Shoyt of a Kothin make it dangerous, it has nothing to do with me. And you see a similar machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. There in Perek Yud-Beis of Hilchos Niskei. Look over here, Oiz Dalet, says the Rambam, Hamoitzi Bar, person has a pit that was already dug. He finds it, it was already dug. V'kiseu, so I cover it over, I'm a good Samaritan. V'chaz v'gileu, then I have a change of heart, I uncover it. Who's chayv? I find a pit, yeah, a pothole that's open. I see a manhole cover next to it. I say, wow, that's dangerous. So I cover it over. Then I say, ooh, you know, maybe there's someone trapped in there. So I uncover it. But I covered it, now I uncovered it. Who's the Baal HaBor? Then a car comes, boom, smack into the...
Should be the same
into
owner?
The manhole. What?
Shouldn't it be the original owner?
But I covered it over, then I uncovered it.
So the original owner, not the guy who covered and uncovered it.
So it says the Rambam, it's the guy, original owner. Baal HaBor chayav b'zeh Achron Poter. Let's say I have a pit, though, and I fill it with dirt. And then I say, you know what, maybe someone dug this pit on purpose. And I dig the pit again. Who's chayav now? It says the Rambam, Sassim v'ofar v'chaz v'otziyas kol ha'ofar, zeh ha'achron chayav. The second guy is chayav. Once I fill with dirt, the first guy's pit is gone. Okay, so what did the Rambam say? I find a manhole cover that's open. I cover it over. Now it really can't cause damage anymore. I say, you know what? Maybe someone's trapped underneath there. I reopen the thing. And then it causes damage. Who's obligated to pay? Con Ed, not me. If I find a pit that was dug, I, you know, covered over with dirt, then I say, oh, maybe someone dug this on purpose. I undig it again. Now I'm chayav. So obviously, the Rambam explains the difference is, because one, the second case, the first pit, you know, the first guy's action is gone. I covered over the pit with dirt. I filled it in. Now I dig it again. That's my pit. The other one, I just covered it over. And even though I covered it over, it remains a pit. It remains a davar amazik. The Ravid here disagrees. Zok the Ravid again. No, when you cover it over, even if you just cover it over and uncover it, you're chayiv. The only time that you become potter is b'kdei sheyeda. When the first guy who dug the pit knows that his pit is open, and even though you covered it, you uncovered it, now he becomes responsible for it again. But until he finds out that it was his pit that's uncovered, he's potter. Because since you covered it over and you uncovered it, it's considered to be your pit, since you covered it and uncovered it. When he later finds out that he created a pit that's still open, he becomes obligated again. But as long as it's covered over and you uncovered it and he hasn't yet found out that it became uncovered again, you're obligated for it. Why? So Birka Shmuel here, Baruch Be'er, quotes from Reb Chaim, that it's because, again, the same machlokes. According to the Ravid, when a pit is covered over, when an animal is tethered, it's no longer a dangerous item. Its status of being a dangerous item has been removed. So if you cover over a pit, the first guy's action is gone. It's like a guy took a pit and he filled it in. It's no longer the mazik. I dig a new pit, I'm obligated for the damage that it causes. So if I cover a pit and I uncover it, I'm responsible for the damage that it causes. When the owner later finds out, he'll be obligated. But fundamentally, when it's covered over, it's no longer a davar amazik. So to over here, that's what's going on with Rashi and Tosfos, with the Rambam and the Ravid. What's going on is, according to Rashi, if it would be covered over properly, it's no longer a davar amazik. Even if I can anticipate the cheresh will uncover it, I'm not responsible at that point, because I didn't give him a dangerous item. Its status of davar amazik has been removed. However, according to Tosfos, according to the Rambam, when a pit is covered over, when an animal is tied up, it's still a davar amazik. It's a dangerous item. It's only if I fill in the pit. Then it's no longer a davar amazik. But if it's just covered over, it's still a davar amazik. And if I can anticipate the chayesh, we'll do something dangerous with it, I'm obligated by new.
Two things. One, so would the Birchas Shmuel say, or I guess distinguish between covering over the pit and filling it up?
Of course. The Rambam distinguishes, yes. The question is covering over the pit the same as filling it up? Or is covering over the pit different? The Rambam holds it's different. One is a davar amazik that you covered over. Mm-hmm. One is it's no longer a davar amazik, and the Ravid all do you know when you fill it in, it's all. When you cover it over, it's also like you filled it in.
So what's the Ravid's reasoning for that? Because I think there's a difference.
You do? I don't think a manhole. I think when you cover over a manhole, I can make a very good argument that it's no longer a pit; it's now a tunnel, which is covered over. It's no different than a subway tunnel. It's not dangerous anymore. And if a cheresh will later come and uncover it, that's his fault. What does it do with me? It's not a dangerous item anymore. So why should I be? My responsibility has ended. And the Rambam and Tosfos disagree. They say, when you have a pit that's covered over, it's still your responsibility somewhat because it's still a davar amazik. And if you gave it over to a cheresh or to a katan, you should have anticipated they might do something that will make it, you know, cause damage. You're responsible.
But can we say, like, that can always happen? Like, cheresh or katan or someone of that sort can go and, you know, lift up a manhole cover. Or, like,
but here I asked the cheresh to watch it. So, and I knew he might untie my dog. I left the dog, which was tied up, even though it could have remained indefinitely tied up. I put a cheresh there. Put a cheresh next to a tied up animal, the cheresh might fiddle around with it, even though that could have happened, you know, unbeknownst to me.
Right.
But since I knew it might happen, you know.
But even in the case where you're not done with the shmir, according to the Rambam, he would still say that the ball of the boar would be.
Could still be tied. It's still a davar amazik, and the Ravid and Rashi argue, no, once it's tied up, it's no longer a davar amazik. This could be one last thing, Chavra. Look over here, Yudam et Aleph. We're going to get to this soon. But the Gemara says over here, six lines in the top. Chaymer be'esh. The Gemara is discussing that there's a chaymer of each one. There's a, you know, a stringency of each one of the arba of his nezikim more than the other ones. So six lines from the top, two words from the end of the line. The Gemara says, chaymer be'esh mi be'bar. There's a stringency of esh that doesn't apply to bar. But chaymer be'bar mi be'esh is a stringency of bar that doesn't apply to esh. Chaymer be'bar mi be'esh. What's more strict about bar than is about eish? Shetchilas asiyos l'nezek. Bar is made as a dangerous item. Masur l'cheresh oed v'katan chayiv. If you gave it to a cheresh oed v'katan, you're chayiv. You gave him a covered over pit. Masha'en came be'eish. If I give him a gachelos, you're not chayiv. So look at the Rav Naftali Trop over here, Oizvav. He says, this is not a chaymer of bar and eish. Hikshu mafarshim. The lo dinze einenu chumra bar v'kula be'eish. El the shmir shcheir shayt v'katan lo sagi b'shar. The shcheir shayt v'katan can watch a pit. Yeah, I'm sorry, cannot watch a pit, and he can watch a fire. Because a fire naturally becomes extinguished over time. So it's a practical reason. It's nothing fundamentally different between a bar and an eish. It's just practically the eish burn, diminishes over time, and a shar and a bar remain dangerous. It's nothing to do with the fact that one av nezikin is more stringent than the other. However, Naftali Trop explains, no, on the third line, the eish lomar, no, this is a chumrah of bar from eish. Because why is it that when I hand a bar to a shechir shayt v'katan to watch, even though it's covered over, that I'm still obligated to pay for the damages that could likely be caused by it, is because perhaps that's still considered to be a davar amazik. According to the Rambam, according to Taisus, even though it's covered over properly, it's still a davar hamazik. A fire, though, a coal, even according to the Rambam and Tosfos, that kasher karoy that I give to a chayav shayt v'katan, I'm chayav is because it's still considered to be a davar hamazik. It's still a dangerous item, and therefore, if I give it to a chayav shayt v'katan, you're chayav. Agachel as your pater, because this is certainly not eino davar hamazik. So says Rav Naftali Trop. So now we understand that's a chumra of bar and shor that doesn't apply by eish. When you have a bar or a shor that's properly covered, that's no longer a davar hamazik according to the Rambam and Tosfos. However, an eish that's just like a cheles, I'm sorry, that is a davar hamazik. And therefore, if I give it to a cheles, it becomes a chayim. An eish is no longer a davar hamazik when it's just a coal. So if I give it to a cheles, it becomes a your putter. So you do see, at least conceptually, a difference between a shor and a bar, which is tied up, that's still fundamentally a dangerous item, and you be chayim for the damages that it causes, in the hands of a cheles, it becomes a chayim, as opposed to an eish, that is not a davar hamazik. So the Naftali Trop explains that's why conceptually there's a difference between it. It's not just a practical thing. Yeah.
I was going to now assume that it got more food from the flame.
No, a flame is.
If I give.